We get to rejoice in the great opportunities that God gives us in also many wonderful ways. It is a beautiful gospel that we celebrate. It is such a captivating idea for me. I was reading this gospel and I was thinking about it. I was sitting at my desk and I was thinking about this, and it occurred to me I spent a lot of time sitting at my desk. And when I was in high school, my hobby was to play with these little miniatures. I used to assemble them. They were made of plastic and pewter and probably lead too, maybe, I don't know, stuff to swallow that really wasn't good for us. But you know, I spent about half the time trying to glue it together and having it stuck to my fingers. And then the other half I was trying to spend painting it so that I could take it and play tabletop games with other people. We play these war games. It was a lot of fun. I remember that when I would do this, it kind of drifted off in my own little world. I kind of tuned out everything else around me. I could paint for hours. My fingers would be sore, but I could just sit there, hunched over my desk, and for some reason, I don't exactly know why, but I'd have this whole desk to work with, and I'd usually live like I had this 2-inch square on the edge of the desk, and that's all I could really work with. I was so focused on what I did, sometimes I'd have conversations with myself. I'd have these passive conversations. There'd be part of it going on in my head that only I could hear, and there'd be the other part that I would say out loud so I knew which voice was which, and I was keeping track of who had score. And usually the loud part of my conversations were something that sounded very simple. I'd either make simple grunting noises, or I'd say things like, So I looked completely like a crazy person agreeing with no one, so I'd just sit there and paint by myself. And I get so caught up in this and so focused on this. I think of a particular instance when I was doing this, I was really focused on what I was doing. I'm being this little guy, and suddenly, I heard another voice. It said, "Did you even hear me?" And it occurred to me that it was not part of my ongoing conversation. And I looked up to see my mother standing right there over me. And it occurred to me that I had no idea that she had come into my room. I lived in the basement. I didn't even know she had opened the door or come down the stairs or come. I was oblivious to the whole thing. Apparently she had shouted from the stairs. I did not hear it. She had come down the stairs and shouted at me again, and I still had not heard. She had come to my room, and there I was saying, And I don't think my mother believed me, so she had to ask. And I thought of this because we can get so preoccupied with what we're doing. We can get so focused on what we're doing. Maybe you don't have that problem. Maybe people can't sneak up on you. But you know, we can get so focused on what we're doing that we can miss what God is trying to say to us. God can come to us at these times, and we might not even catch it at all. You know, I find it fascinating when you look at this. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And then he's walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he sees these two people. He sees Peter and Andrew. He was Simon, he got called Peter later. It was Peter and Andrew. And he goes up to them while they're mending their nets, while they're working. It's the middle of the day, in the middle of something. He says, "Come after me. I'll make you fishers of men." And I'm fascinated by this, because he knew them outside of work. He had seen them at the synagogue. He knew who they were. He was living in this area. And yet, he didn't come on the weekend. He didn't come in the evening or the twilight or when we had a convenient moment. You know, that convenient moment that occurs for about a quarter of a second, about once every 3 years. You know, that convenient moment. He didn't come then. No, he came in the middle of work while they were focused on other things, while they were very much focused on what they're supposed to be doing. He went to James and John. They were standing in the boat with their father. He said, "Come after me." And they did. They just left their father. Up, out, there they go. I know, it's kind of like, sweet, I get to skip out on my chores. That's not exactly how we relate to this. They're working. They're making their livelihood. And here in this moment, God calls them. I think it's a powerful reminder to all of us to consider, when God calls to us, do we listen? Do we hear him? And do we acknowledge him for what he's doing? You know, it's one of those great challenges that when we come face to face with who God is, when we come to that moment where we realize that God is calling us to do something, are we going to step up and do it? Can we follow after God even though we're busy? Even though we're in the middle of something else? Even though we might be in the middle of our work day? We might be tired or distracted or worn down or run out. And it's that moment that God wants us. It's that moment that God calls to us and says, right now, follow me. And it might seem like a strange time, or it might seem like a strange instance. It might not require that we get up in that moment and physically walk out that room. Maybe it's standing up for God in that moment. Maybe it's giving witness to God in that moment, because that's what he's called us to do. Maybe it's speaking up for God. Maybe it's speaking up for someone, and we're there and we're watching these people speak poorly of somebody else, and God calls us to speak up for that person. We don't even have to like that person, but maybe we're called to speak up something well for them. Because if we're called, genuinely called, then we're challenged to respond in that moment there. God doesn't necessarily come at what we consider the convenient time. But rest assured, God always comes in the appointed time. That means when it's right. When the moment's right, and God knows the moment's right, even if we disagree and think he's wrong, even if we're convinced that it's absolutely the worst moment, it's the perfect moment for us. And that's why God invites us in that. You know, it's Catholic Schools Week, and it is an excellent time to celebrate Catholic Schools Week. I've been asking high schoolers all week that go to Newman, I said, what are you doing for Catholic Schools Week? They said, nothing. And they all kind of hang their heads and hope that they could get out of school, but apparently they don't get out of school. I don't know why they would think so. This is Catholic Schools Week. We're supposed to get more education, not less. But it is the challenge for all of us. The Catholic Schools Week is not just for people with children in school. It's not just for people with children in Catholic schools. It's for all of us. See, Catholic education is a responsibility of ours. Has been for a very long time. The responsibilities of the church, the responsibility of the priest has always been to preach, teach, and sanctify. These are the things that the church has carried forward always. It is the responsibility of each and every one of us to be learning and to benefit from the education that the church offers. Never forget that the church is not afraid of education, not afraid of learning, not afraid of developing the sciences, literature, art. We love it. You ever seen the pretty churches in Europe? They didn't just fall out of the sky. It took encouragement, growth. I've never been afraid of education. Some might say, well, the church kept us in the dark ages. Church didn't want to keep anybody in the dark ages. Church wants to learn. Church wants to expand. Even to this day, the church runs the College of Sciences, an organization that funds scientific research and progress. Even non-Catholic, even atheist scientists belong to the College of Science because they want to learn. They want to develop in their field. The College of Science sponsors these things, so, you know, they like our money, but, you know, they want to try and develop these things. We have Catholic education here in the United States that is a wonderful opportunity for us to not only incorporate knowledge, but to incorporate our faith into that knowledge and grow into something far more incredible and beautiful. Remember that the Catholic Church education has been present in the United States long before public education ever existed. It actually predates Catholic education. If you live south of the Mason-Dixon line for over 150 years, the Ursuline Sisters, that would be a religious order of the Catholic Church, were the only educators there. You either went to the Ursuline Sisters or you didn't go to school. Those were really the only things there. President Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter to the Ursuline Sisters when he made the Louisiana Purchase. He assured them that he would not interfere and that the United States would not interfere with their schools because it was not his responsibility to interfere with their schools and they were to govern themselves as they saw fit. Let that sink in for a minute. Think about that for a second. Not like today, but it did happen. It is a great reminder to us that Catholic education, whether we talk about it worldwide or in this country, is a responsibility for each and every one of us. It is our responsibility because we must first and foremost be good examples of that education. Good examples by both encouraging others to learn and by learning ourselves. Never saying, I'm done. I've learned enough. I just peek right here. It's never there. We should always be learning, developing ourselves deeper and deeper into a greater knowledge and appreciation of who God is through his creation. Whether we do that through art or literature or science, as long as we're trying to develop, it deepens our relationship with Christ. Catholic education, Catholic Schools Week is a great time for that. The other great thing that reminds us is that we have a responsibility to the people here in Dixon to continue to offer stellar education. You know, I have to say, I'm very proud of our school. I've been excited about our school since I got here. It really warms my heart to see even the teachers here on Sundays, not just during Catholic Schools Week, but regularly. It is a great witness to all. It is a great witness to their faith. It is a great witness to all that they show up. That we are a part of a larger community, and education is just one piece of that. And we should never underestimate that it is all of our responsibility to continue to develop that education and to encourage it in others. So we are called. It may not always be convenient, it may not always seem convenient, but we are definitely called by God to grow, to deepen, and to develop. And so we are reminded, especially during this Catholic School Week, to do exactly that. And to respond whenever God calls us, even when it's inconvenient.